back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this, what's left of this Friday morning before we head into the Labor Day weekend. If you still want to get in some text, 251-343-0106, maybe at the very conclusion of the program, we will be able to respond. But joining us now, we do this every Friday. Pleased to be joined by my state senator and this show's returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Not to sound too much like Parker Griffith and talk about the crops and the rain and all that, but sure am thankful for the little bit of rain here. I know we need it.
Yeah, let's just keep it at a little bit of rain and not tropical, I suppose. And we'll be in really good shape.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of a boring week for South Baldwin County. Not a lot of drama. Everything seems to be going really well, actually. The all the state issues seem to be lining up just like you had anticipated and hope the best you could hope for, it seems. You gotta be feeling pretty good about where we are today, don't you?
I think the term kicked over tackle box is more apt. So it is, it's a bit of a mess. Unfortunately, all of this was easily anticipated as it relates to the bridge over the Intracoastal Waterway and how this has played out. It's been my concern from the beginning that this was going to draw out, that it was going to take a lot of time, and that there was going to be a lot of pain in the interim. And I'm afraid all of those things are coming home to come. Those chickens are coming home to roost, and again, all very foreseeable. And those are calculations that ought to have been and should have been made in the decision making process of John Cooper and Governor Ivey, assuming John Cooper talked to Governor Ivey about any of this.
And there's no reason to think that's the case, just based on what we've seen in the past, right?
Well, what he's testified to under oath was that he hadn't talked to her since 2017 about it. Now, maybe he's talked to her pretty recently, but as of a few months ago, he said he hadn't talked to her since 2017 about it. So maybe this is just all John Cooper, but she ultimately bears the responsibility for it.
Yeah, Mayor Kinnon not really thrilled with this turn. Well, I assume he's not thrilled with it, but says, you look at what's happened with the toll bridge and those fares, don't blame him, blame the governor.
Well, it's a state project, and clearly, from the very beginning, the Department of Transportation did not work with local leaders to come up with a solution that worked for both mayors on the island, as well as for the city of Foley and the county commission. It was a unilateral, we're doing this and here we go. And I just think that Mayor Kinnon's point's well taken. When you start looking at the total cost of this project, is there a better, more efficient way to use those funds? The answer is, of course, yes. And while I'm always in favor of the State Department of Transportation spending money in my district, you do have to wonder if it's the most efficient way to use limited resources. And then again, of course, it's the same thing we talk about all the time, and that is, what is the ultimate cost of this thing going to be by the time you do all the lawsuits and legal work involved in the right-of-way acquisition, the construction, the lawsuits and legal work associated with the construction? And then, oh, by the way, the elephant in the room is this project isn't fully designed. And it isn't, even at this project's completion, the corridor won't be totally complete, right? Because the project ends at County Road 4. There's no doubt in my mind that without spending additional tens of millions of dollars to connect this back to some immediate way, that this project will be wholly ineffective as it is right now.
Senator, something you said there about the project not being fully designed, which is kind of the way we do things. We design it as we go. That has turned out not to be the best. I understand it in theory, but the construction management and design build, but as far as cost effectiveness goes, and especially in an inflationary situation, we got to get away from that, it would seem.
No question about that at all. Now, this was a design and then build. So that was done in a traditional manner. My concern is that they don't have the whole corridor, right? They don't have the road, the right of way, the tie-in point to the Beach Express. They don't have those things finished yet. But your point about the whole delivery method, the design build delivery method that's being used on prisons, that's being used on I-10, and that's being used on the West Alabama corridor is problematic. For example, in the last Joint Transportation Committee, I asked ALDOT's chief engineer, Ed Austin, repeatedly what the projected cost was for the West Alabama corridor. You know, initially it was just over $700 million, $770 million. And we don't know what the total cost is. I suspect it's close to double that. But ALDOT says, well, we don't know what the cost is going to be. Yet on next week's contract review committee agenda, they have a $75 million contract with Brasfield and Gorey to start construction on a portion of that. Having no idea, at least, is what they're telling the legislature and the Joint Transportation Committee. They have no idea what the project's going to actually cost. And that's how we end up in these types of situations, like we're in with prisons, where we're off we go and we have no budget, no idea what it's going to cost, and real no plan on how to pay for it. And I just think that's a bad way to run the Department of Transportation.
Right. And I mean, what we hear is over and over again, and I mean, I'm surprised. Now, obviously, you're an exception, and there's some others. But I'm surprised just to how many of your colleagues in the legislature just kind of shrugged this off. Like, well, you know, it's just expensive now, and this is the way it's got to have to be. And we don't like it, obviously. But, I mean, it does seem like there's an emotional detachment when you have a prison that goes from $630 million to nearly $1 billion, and that, you know, all throughout, Senator, before this session, it was all about not blowing the surplus, fiscal discipline, not giving it all away in some goofy tax cut or whatever. And then, like, you get kind of a contradicting sentiment when it comes to some of these construction costs.
No question about it. And it's very hard for the legislature to appropriate funds when you have no direction from the State Department of Transportation on what the budget for the project actually is. And I'm afraid there's so much of what's driving transportation policy in Alabama right now seems to be just, let's get it started before the end of the administration, right? Let's just get going, because in all fairness, I mean, this is just math. You know, the governor's got 3 years left on her term. Ostensibly, you know, John Cooper has that max left. And there are a bunch of big projects out there that need to get started if they're going to actually have a chance at actually happening. Because they're detractors on the West Alabama corridor, certainly, that think that there's better ways, A, to spend that money, and then B, that there needs to be significant federal funding tied to that so that we're not just spending state money. And so they feel like, well, let's rush the shovel in the ground so that subsequent administrations will be forced to complete our priorities. Unfortunately, I think that's what's governing the decision-making about not only what projects to do, but how to implement them and how to finance them. And that's not a good way to govern.
I mean, it's going to be remarkable when it's all said and done. KIV will be the longest-serving governor consecutive terms in state's history. And it looks to me like where we sit today, there'll just be a bunch of unfinished projects sitting out there. But she had all this time that obviously Rebuild Alabama didn't get done until 2019, and you had to go appease a lot of the different constituencies around the state because you needed the votes to get it through. But here we are today. You're going to have a bunch of unfinished projects when this governor leaves office.
That's correct. And you say it was only in 2019, but it was 4 years ago. I mean, you're correct in the math, obviously, but it was 4 years ago. And this is the first announcement that we have on major 65 widening projects 4 years later after we passed this. And you have to wonder, is that, you know, has that been the plan all along, which I don't know that that's the answer, or is that the leadership and the pressure that Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth has put on this administration to refocus its efforts on areas of the state that need these projects implemented? And I think it's the latter. I think I'm glad that Governor Ivey announced these projects. Those are key areas that should have been on the top of the list. But Jeff, that should have been done as soon as Rebuild Alabama passed. It shouldn't be 4 years later.
Let me say this, and I was thinking about the, now the cost. This will be the stretch of 65 in Shelby County. Ought to be one of the more expensive. It obviously wouldn't be the expensive like the bridges down, the Dolly Parton Bridge is down here in our neck of the woods, Senator. But aside from everything else, I mean, it's a very high price tag to get that section from Alabaster to Calera done. But you look at everything else, especially in these, some of these rural areas, I know there's overpasses and railroads and things like that that got to be accounted for when you're going to add a lane. But otherwise, it shouldn't be that difficult to get the 65 six lane. It shouldn't be as expensive for a lot of this, right?
No, you're correct. This is the portion that the governor announced yesterday was an expensive part. It's also a high need area. So both of those, you know, drive cost, and there are a lot of bridges, overpasses, you know, all of those things drive cost up significantly. And Jeff, the way I look at it, you've got three different tranches, if you will, of I-65, or three different categories that it kind of falls into. One is, of course, your high need areas, which absolutely need to be first. Then I think you get the low hanging fruit, right? You get the areas that are flat and easy and in between your high need areas, because you still have traffic in those areas certainly as well, but that are easy to do. And then you come back, you know, and again, this will be a decades long or longer process. But then you come back and you get those areas that are just really, really tough and expensive, but maybe not that high need, and fill in the gaps. It is going to take time. It will take longer than the balance of this governor's term and the next governor's term to do all of 65. But I'm glad we're started, and I'm, you know, on it, and I'm really glad that Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth has pushed as hard as he has to get, you know, to get ALDOT refocused on areas of the state that it needs to be focused on, instead of, you know, going down this rabbit trail in West Alabama.
I'll give you a layup here. Should we read into John Cooper not being at this announcement yesterday?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, I saw. I'm not sure. You know, I wouldn't speculate on that one way or the other. You know, there weren't a lot of legislators there, which I thought was curious. You saw the governor's announcement, talked about the mayors there, but not any of the legislators that really made it possible by sticking their neck out and voting for a gas tax. So I'm not sure what the government relations strategy is there with the legislature itself, but I did think that was curious.
Well, the thing about this announcement, Senator, these are all projects we already knew about. We knew they were going to do that South Shades Crest thing on 459. We knew they were working on something. They're talking about closing 59 to do this for some time already. And whenever they would talk about 65, the governor's spokeswoman would say, they would point to that stretch from Alabaster to Calera. To me, this whole announcement that the governor had yesterday was just a more of a PR strategy, because she is getting so much pressure, I think, from Lieutenant Governor and others about her transportation policy. And she needed something big and flashy to do yesterday to kind of put that at rest.
I think that's fair. I mean, I do. You know, the Lieutenant Governor has been driving the narrative on transportation policy. I mean, she at the Business Council of Alabama was talking about, you know, I-65 and talking about, you know, folks pushing her to do that. And that's all the Lieutenant Governor driving that policy. And he's been very successful with that messaging. And I think that's an important, if you would call it a lesson for the governor's office to learn, is be in touch with what the voters want. The voters are sitting, the constituents are sitting on I-65. You know, 43, widening 43 in West Alabama would be nice, but it doesn't have the empirical, you know, need that 65 has. And I think she's wise to pivot and follow the lieutenant governor's lead on this and get some action done on 65 and to talk about it and to get out in front and talk about it, because she was very much losing that narrative.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, real quick before we let you go here, you read into not having a any kind of decision from the 11th Circuit on redistricting. Do you read into that?
Yeah, I keep waiting for that to pop sometime today. You know, they love putting a decision out on a Friday, and they love putting a decision out on a Friday before a holiday weekend. So it would not surprise me to see that in the next 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. But we need to, you know, they need to go ahead and make a ruling so that the Attorney General has time to do what he needs to do. Candidates for Congress have time to do what they need to do. I think we all know what's fixing to happen. We just need them to actually, we need it to happen from a time frame standpoint. They certainly didn't have any problems putting time constraints on the legislature to redraw districts. Let's go ahead and get the ruling, and then we'll go to the next step after that.
Senator, if we don't speak again, have a good holiday weekend, but we'll do this again next week.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thanks, as always, for the time.
Thank you. That was State Senator Chris Elliott. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.